Welcome to the Self-Healing Game Plan Part 2. I'm so excited that you're here. When we touched on the Self-Healing Plan Part 1 the other week, we were really talking about the vision behind what your goals are, the vision behind those achievements that you're aspiring to, that next level version of who you are. How are you embodying them? Where do you see yourself in the next year, in the next 6 months, in the next 3 years, in the next 5 years? And having that picture become so incredibly juicy and so vivid that it anchors you into that physical reality. It anchors you there already. So every single action that you take or decision that you make, it is in alignment with whatever that vision is. And if you feel like you're still unaligned with some of those decisions that you're making or actions that you're taking, it could be that your vision is just not juicy enough. So I do want you to write what your vision is in the chat, share it with me, especially if you didn't get the opportunity to share it with me last time that we were together. But this self-healing game plan part two is a lot more about the physical actions that you can take. We were dreaming a lot in that first part of the self-healing game plan. Now we want to make sure that the next steps that we take are actually in alignment to get us to where it is that we want to go because we know what those steps are. And it's something that not only will be given to you intuitively, but you'll feel in your body like, okay, this is not in full alignment. This is not making me feel good when I do it. This is not making me feel good when I think this. This is not making me feel good when I say this or when I make a decision that's like this. It is out of alignment. And then your body will start to tell you sometimes before your intuition even does. And so I want this to be a process for you where it becomes very easy to maneuver and navigate in this version of you that you still have not experienced quite yet. And this is really what will allow you to quantum leap. This will allow you to quantum jump. This will allow you to receive your manifestations so much quicker than you can even ever imagine. This is what helps you to collapse those timelines when you're the living, breathing, walking, talking embodiment of that version, even if your external reality and everything and everyone around you are still not exactly what you prefer. So I want to hear from you in the chat. I want to know what are the actual practices that you have been adding into your routine? Are you healing, like truly, truly healing in a real way, on a true level? Or are you just kind of understanding concepts spiritually, trying to understand manifestation very cerebrally, mentally, and none of it's really clicking yet? This self-healing game plan part two is the embodiment practice. This is where you get to actually take it into your own hands and start to drive that car towards that vision for yourself. Okay. Healing is the vehicle to get you towards that manifestation, right? And I said this in a live I was on last night for TikTok. But I don't want you all to think that your manifestations and your desires are something that you bring from outside of you in your external reality and like just bring it into you, into your vision, into your field. That's not how it works. You are allowing yourself to experience this, but sometimes you can be blind to that possibility or to that reality. So instead of you taking a look at your manifestations and your desires as something that you want to bring from outside of you into your field, into your quantum reality, into your world, I want you to think of it as turning a light switch on and then being able to see that vision, being able to see that manifestation, being able to see that desire actualized in the physical reality in the material world. And I want you to think of it more so as an elevator, okay? When you're in an elevator and let's say you're pressing button number two, you will go into level two and you will see everything that's there. You cannot see anything that's on level three, four, five. You cannot see anything that's on level one. You can't see anything other than that level two experience. And so when we're thinking about quantum leaping or shifting identities or creating a reality and really seeing those timelines collapse on top of one another, where we feel like, oh, I just kind of switch dimensions a little bit. I just kind of shifted into a completely like parallel universe, but it's a little bit different and all in all the good ways. And so you can only see what's on that level that you're currently in. And sometimes because of the ways that we are a bit limited in this world, we often forget that we can get back into the elevator and then shift and click a different button. But what it takes for us to remember and realize that, recognize that, and then press another button that is more aligned to what our preferences and desires are, and have that happen very naturally for ourselves, it takes the healing process. So that's why I want to know what your specific practices have been, if any at all. If you just were filling out your step by step of your self-healing game plan, but you weren't actually taking actions, like if you weren't doing anything that was actionable, physical, tangible, measurable, something that you knew in the moment, like, oh, I'm not feeling like the highest timeline version of myself. I'm not really feeling, like the hero of my story. I'm feeling a little bit more like a victim right now. I'm feeling a little bit more like I'm in lack or I'm in scarcity. What are you doing in those moments other than just having the awareness? Because I told you the first time, you having awareness is a beautiful thing. Because if you were blinded to all the aspects of you that need some healing or want to be seen, heard, and felt, if you were blinded to that, you cannot make the change. But if you have awareness, you have that first step, and then you can make that change. You can make that choice. And oftentimes, it really just does come down to the choices that you're making, the decisions that you're making. Are you choosing to stay in that victim mentality? Are you choosing to be more ambitious? Are you choosing to light your soul on fire? Are you choosing to dream bigger for yourself? Are you choosing to actually go after your goals with an actionable plan? Okay, so I want you to really consider, like, all right, I have this vision, I have the timeline of when I want this to be actualized or realized by me. I, understand that I really have to heal my physical body in order to make this happen, or my mental body to make this happen. I understand that I have to meditate more. But are you actually doing those things? How are you healing your body? How are you healing your emotional body? How are you healing your physical body, your mental body? How are you connecting to your spiritual body? And how often are you giving yourself every single day or every single week or every single month to do that? Right? So that's where we get into more of the nitty-gritty here. And I want you to be very real with yourself. If you have been in this healing journey for a long time, if you've been in this spiritual journey for a long time, if you've been trying to manifest for a long time and you're not seeing any movements, or the movements that you're seeing are just not big enough for what you're wanting, that is definitely telling me that should be your number one sign that you are not actively healing. You're just understanding these spiritual concepts, you're understanding the healing concepts, but you're not putting them into play. You're not plugging and chugging them. You just keep consuming, 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 consuming. But that's the issue here, because this game that we play in life, in order for you to upgrade to the next level, it's very much so like a regular game that you play as a video game, where you beat that final boss and you go to the next level and you beat this level, and sometimes it's hard and sometimes you feel like you're losing all the time and you're failing all the time, and then you have to die a whole bunch of times, and then you get re-upgraded into the video game, and then you have to beat that boss until you're better. And so you practice so much that you're smarter than the computer, you're smarter than the actual game, and you get to create that. And then when you have that level of success, you've beaten that monster, you've beaten that level, you get to the next level, and it's like, oh, okay, finally, like I'm here, and you reward yourself. And if you are playing the game of life, and every single time you fail, or every single time you have to go through an ego death and die in the video game, every single time you are feeling like you're not progressing or you're stuck and stagnant in that same level, are you giving up? Are you giving up on yourself? Truthfully, are you believing that you're always going to fail? Are you believing that this is a forever thing? Are you believing that this is a part of your identity now and it can never change? It's not the truth. I promise you, every experience in this reality, whether it's perceived good or perceived bad, whatever meaning you put behind it, I promise you, it's literally temporary. It is not forever. 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 But if you have this belief in your mind that you're always going to be in lack, you're never going to find the love of your life, you're never going to have that confidence, you're never going to be on stage and public speaking and celebrating yourself and teaching other people and showing your business off, if you always feel like you can never have that like really good best friend that's always there for you, that you trust with your whole entire heart, and you're extremely loyal, and you have that companion that you just do everything with, if you don't believe that you can have those things, I promise you won't have those things. Whether you believe you can do it or you believe that you cannot do it, you're right. Okay, so I really want you to get into the depths of your beliefs this time around in the self-healing game plan, because we're not messing around this time. This is actually, you're either doing it or you're not. And you have to be very honest with yourself. Are you letting distractions get in your way? Are you letting other people get in your way? Are you letting certain outcomes of your external reality get in your way? Are you getting in your own way, right? Are you stopping yourself before you start? Or if you're starting and you're getting some momentum and then you have a little bit of a hiccup, you have some resistance show up, do you just like stop doing what you're doing? Be so honest and be so for real with yourself, because that kind of honesty is taking radical responsibility. And the more that you're able to take radical responsibility over your life, over your healing, over your relationships, over your health, over your wealth, that's when you start to win the game. But if you're always blaming other people, blaming your distractions, creating so many more excuses, you are playing the game of a victim. It's true. And it doesn't have to be that way. If you are the creator of your own reality, why are you continuing to create a victimhood mentality? Why are you creating constantly a lack or scarcity mentality? And sometimes you'll feel like, well, I feel like I actually am doing everything that I can possibly think of. Well, in that case, if you have been doing everything that you can possibly think of, what has worked for you and what has not worked for you? And the things that were working for you, did you add more momentum? Did you increase the frequency in which you were doing that at? Or did you say, oh, well, it's kind of good, but not so much, right? When I teach people on meditation and I say that, hey, this is a really great daily practice for you to be able to do for yourself. And I believe that you should be combining that with grounding, using earth medicine. When I say that to people, and they're like, yes, that's great. And then they'll go and they'll meditate for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. And they're like, that was so good. I had all these realizations. I had all these things come up for me. Like, this is perfect. This was awesome. I love this. And then I'm like, great, awesome. Love to hear it. Keep me updated on your progress. And then it's like silent. Silent for a long time. And then what? They're getting sessions with me, a mini Reiki session, a full-on session. They're buying some mentorship things with me. And I'm like, okay, well, how's it been going? What's been happening? And they're like, well, you know, this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. And I'm like, okay, well, what have you been doing? Well, I was meditating, but then I stopped. I was doing, you know, this workout routine, but then I stopped. I was doing this mindset work, but then I stopped. I was doing inner child healing, but then I stopped. Why did you stop? I don't know, because, well, this is it. No. The only reason that you stopped is because you gave up on yourself in that moment and you decided to use your external reality, not as something to say, oh, okay, this has already been manifested. I understand where I have been, where my subconscious has been at, but I can create something different. If I don't really like what's going on here, I know I can change it, but change it internally. You have been using your external reality to change what's inside of you instead of you looking at your external reality and saying, well, I can change that by turning back into me, right? Tuning back into me, tapping back into me, understanding what it feels like to tap back into my own pure consciousness instead of just constantly, constantly, constantly falling back into my ego self, falling back into my autopilot self. And you can create a beautiful autopilot, I promise you, once you understand that it takes a lot of repetition to change that wiring, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about how you can change those subconscious patterns, that wiring or the rewiring that we may need to do. We're going to talk about nervous system regulation in other ways as well, but I do want this to just like be something that is in your head. And definitely let me know if there's anything here that resonates with you or makes you feel alive, or if you feel like you've gotten value from something. Let me know in the chat and leave me like a landed or a yes or a bullseye or a target emoji, just so that I know that we're on the same level here together, right? But I promise you, if you continue to do this kind of work, and you bet on you, and you stay within the frequency, and you do not give up on yourself, and you keep going, and you stop allowing these distractions to be the reason or the excuse for you not progressing in the ways that you know that you can, and you still have this burning desire in your heart of being this person that you know you were always born to be, and you're not actually living a fulfilled enough life where you feel like that is the truth for you, or you don't feel like that's the reality for you, I promise you. I promise you, it's just getting back into the frequency. It's just getting back into the repetition and going all in on yourself, believing yourself that you can have it. Okay. So I want this to not just be a cerebral thing for you. We're done with just consuming, consuming, consuming. You know so much of what you have to do. If I went to any single one of you, if I went to Haley or Courtney, you know, if I went to Jessica, Miranda, if I went to any of you and I was like, what do you need to do right now? You would tell me, like, line for line, bar for bar. Okay, this is what I need to do. I probably need to do this. I have to do a little bit more of that. And I'm like, okay, great. So do it. 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 And don't let anything trip you up. Don't let anything get in your way, truly, truly, because that is avoidant behavior when you start to do that. When you start to do that, okay? That is avoidant behavior. You want to make sure that when you are working towards that goal, you're in with it. You're feeling secure, okay? Not feeling anxious, not feeling avoidant, not feeling, oh, I can do that later, not feeling, oh, I can do that, you know, after this, or oh, you know what, I have to push this to tomorrow. That's okay if you fall off your routine, but have a different kind of routine as well in case you fall off of that primary routine, right? I spoke about this in the last one. If you have this one routine and you're like going and going, you have all this momentum, but then one day the whole entire morning falls apart and you're like, crap, like I can't get into this routine. Something came up and I have to do something else. Then have that plan B. How can you still work in your routine what you need to for that day, but just in a different way? Okay. So There's a few things that I want to touch on today for the self-healing game plan part two. So I'm going to go over everything we're going to discuss and we'll just keep going. If you have any questions, let me know along the way. And if you're watching this on a replay, or even I have my TikTok set up right here, so my TikTok family is watching today. But if you are here on TikTok, if you're listening to this on the podcast replay, if you're watching this on another replay on YouTube or in the free community and you have questions, please ask them. Okay, because I'm here for you to serve you. You're a part of my community. You're a part of the Mystique Awakening family. I care about you. I care about your growth. I care about your expansion. I want to invite you on the podcast when you've had your progress moments, when you've had your aha moments, when you've had your level of success that you've been working towards for a very long time. I want to invite you here, but we have to be able to do the work in order for you to get there, right? So part of that work includes you commenting, letting me know if you have questions, if you're struggling with something. Let me know that. All right. So, what we're going to be going over today in the self-healing game plan part two, first up is rewriting your life's story. So, when you're able to rewrite your life's story, this will help you with your self-talk. So, if you feel like your self-talk has been rather negative and you just can't really get to be like your own best friend or your own champion or your own cheerleader, your own, best like father figure, mother figure to yourself, your own best friend, like if you cannot be that for whatever reason, it's probably because it's your self-talk. Right. So we want to shift the way that you're talking to yourself and have you understand that you are the hero of your own journey, not the victim, because so many of us get tripped up in this victimhood mindset. And I know that we're not there 100% of the time. Like, I see times where my clients will struggle with this, and then I'll see times where they're just like the most empowered person in the whole entire planet. Nothing can ever stop them. They're like on the moon. And I know that it's not every single one of you that are always in this victimhood mentality, but I promise you, if you can at least envision a version of you that is not stuck in that kind of like crappy ass mentality, you have such a beautiful potential to actually work your way out of that and do so permanently. Okay? Do so permanently. So that comes with rewriting your life story. We'll get into how to do that. The next thing up for today is energy cleansing and protection. I say this all the time. If you are not energy cleansing yourself, you don't have really a good form of energetic protection. All right. And when we touch on energy cleansing, this is a part of how you can heal yourself. When you're energy cleansing, you're cleansing your energetic field. And that energetic field, if it is strong and it is fortified, it will protect you from ill will, evil eye, repeating cycles and patterns, any negativity that someone's sending your way, jealousy, envy, any drama, any gossip, any of that. None of that is going to impact you. But if you have a very weak energetic field, which very, very, very many of us have, since we are so disconnected from Mother Earth medicine, since we're so disconnected from the elements, since we're so disconnected from how to actually balance our energy centers, we just don't have the spiritual hygiene, as much as we have like the physical hygiene, where from a small age, we were told to brush your teeth, floss your teeth, brush your hair, clean your ears, go take a shower. But not that many people were raised with, oh, energy cleanse yourself. Did you grab that, smoke cleansing stick? Were you able to go and purify yourself with some water today? Were you praying? Were you intentional? Were you meditating? Did you use some Reiki? Anything like that? That's not very common. And if it is, and you've lived in a household like that, I love that for you. Like, you are such a baller. That is so cool to already have had that be a part of your practice from such a young age. But it's something that so many of us are lacking. And it is so incredibly important because can you imagine you trying to go for your goals, you trying to be such like a jet setter, you trying to be so ambitious, go for that next level? Can you imagine you trying to really live and embody that upgraded version of yourself, but you're still taking on everyone else's emotions? You're still super impacted depending on if someone said something with a certain tone or not a certain tone that you were expecting. Or something completely happened that like really flipped your day around and it completely wrecked your whole entire mood for the next 3 months. Could you imagine trying to go be your wildest, biggest, boldest, most activated self, most purely conscious self, and then always have this sensitivity to other people and the way that they say things, the way that they do things, the actions that they take, the decisions that they make, the way that they're living their life, right? It's hard. It's hard to go through life that way. So energy cleansing and protection is super important in your journey. We also touch in, or we are also touching on today, changing your environment. Changing your environment and trimming the fat in quotations. Changing your environment will allow you to change your subconscious perception of yourself and of your life. Okay. It will also help your nervous system regulate to the difference that you're making in your life as well, to where any new situation won't really catch you off guard. You just become a little bit more like ready for it. Like you just have that tougher kind of skin where even if someone invites you to like a public speaking event or someone invites you to a workshop or someone invites you to go dancing or someone invites you, you know, to go with them somewhere or you decide to go somewhere and put yourself in the room with other people who are also dreaming as big as you and healing themselves and they're going through different things in their life, but they're killing it. And you're like, yes, I feel super activated. I want to be at this retreat. I want to be at this event. I want to be at this workshop. I want to be in the room with these people. But my nervous system is too scared for this. My nervous system is too fried for this. I'm having social anxiety. I don't feel very comfortable. I don't feel like I can speak up. I don't feel like I can be myself. My social battery is not there yet. I'm just drained even talking to the phone, ordering a pizza. Like, can you imagine? Like, you have to be able to change your environment frequently enough and change your environment towards where that lifestyle is that you're wanting, right? So what restaurants would you eat at that next level version of you? And it's not to say like waste all your money, you know, if you're trying to be a like millionaire and you want to eat at the fanciest Michelin star restaurants and you just don't really have that kind of bag right now. It's not to say like go out and spend all your money and get into credit card debt just to eat at that restaurant, but it is to say like can you upscale the restaurants that you have been eating or choose something a little bit different, try something new? How can you activate yourself with new senses, right? With a new sensory experience so that you are training your subconscious that you can feel safe no matter what kind of new experience you're having, right? That is going to help you so much when it comes to quantum leaping and collapsing these timelines and shifting identities. There are people who manifest simply by putting themselves in that room. So, for instance, there was someone on TikTok a couple years ago. I'm not sure if they're making TikToks anymore, but they were doing like their own little social experiment on their own life. And they were like, I am starting from zero. Like they had, I don't know really what the whole entire story was, but they had like built companies up and down and up and down and up and down. And so they were already like living like a lavish lifestyle, but they wanted to upgrade themselves. And so they decided to like take all of their responsibilities from their job and delegate them so they didn't have to do that all the time 24/7 anymore. And they were just focused on manifesting through getting into the rooms. And so one of the things that they wanted was a brand new like car, like a Lamborghini or something very fancy. And they were like, well, I'm not able to afford this car just yet, but what I'm going to do to get my subconscious and my nervous system familiar with this is go to the car dealerships, ask around, look like I'm buying. And I am, like I am buying, but like in the future, like I'm not buying right now, but I'm allowing myself to get familiar with how the process goes of buying a car like this, how the process goes by trying one car versus the other version of the car and the other model. I'm going to get into the driver's seat. I'm going to pretend like I actually have this. I'm going to take that loop around the block and I'm going to feel like I'm already here because I am here. I am in this car. I am talking with these people. I am talking about future investments. I am browsing around. They are treating me like royalty because this is a very, you know, fancy luxury dealership, you know, so I am feeling like that person who can have this because they got into the room. How much easier is it to manifest now that car, being in it, feeling it, how you sit in it, how you buckle into it, how it goes, and you're like, ooh, that's like setting my soul on fire. Like I'm feeling so like excited, right? And it's so activated. How much easier is it to manifest from that kind of place than in your room or at your desk or in your car, doing the same thing over and over and over again? So changing your environment and trimming the fat. Trimming the fat is really allowing yourself to eliminate all those distractions and excuses, or even like limiting the people that you interact with. Doesn't mean to cut everybody in your life off, but it does mean, hey, are there some people that I know they're not going where I'm going, and me just hanging out with them so often is contributing to that frequency that I have? You know, you are the sum of the five people you're around the most. Are the five people you're around the most the people who will get you to where it is that you want to go? And if not, see how you can, you know, shift the way that you hang out with them. Limit the ways that you hang out with them or the time that you spend with them. And then there's some people altogether that you know are not good for you. And so just allow yourself to, you know, with love and with peace, end that relationship if it's time to. And not just think of, oh, well, we've just been friends for so long, but, you know, every single time we talk to each other, they're always like super like depressed and they're always talking negatively and they're always bringing in so much drama. You know, you have to be able to have that discernment for yourself and saying, I understand that we had such a beautiful relationship in the past, But every single time we talk now, every single time we get together, it's always just like a doom and gloom fest, you know? And it's not making any of us feel any better. As a matter of fact, I'm super drained after having a conversation like that. And so that's where we get into the next one, which is boundary setting. When you're able to set boundaries in your life, that is how you can also allow yourself to say, this is my tunnel vision. This is the direction that I'm going. And the boundary really is not only for others, but it's for yourself too. When you have those boundaries for yourself, it's kind of like having those bumpers when you're a little kid and you're going bowling. And so it's like you cannot miss, right? Like you're bound to hit it. Like you might still hit only one or two of the bowling pins, depending on how you were hitting those bumpers and how many times and how fast the ball was rolling and at what angle and everything like that. But you're bound to hit a pin, right? At least one. You can't get into the gutter. There's no gutter balls that exist when you have those bumpers for bowling. And that is how boundaries can help you too. So I want you to see it in that way. If you've not seen boundaries in that way before, that can be super, super beneficial for you so that you can just literally have those blinders up. You can just go straight towards the goal, cut out the noise, cut out the distraction, cut out the excuses, take radical responsibility for yourself and hold yourself accountable, not just others. It's so important to have those boundaries just for yourself too. And then lastly, if we can get into it, is creating that routine for success. I know that we were talking last time about creating that routine for yourself, having that very physical routine. And I know some people are not routine people. That's totally fine. Sometimes you're a little bit more go with the flow, but I do ask you, is going with the flow helping you out? Is going with the flow getting you closer to where you want to go? If you've been going with the flow for the past 3 months, if you've been going with the flow for the past 2 years, 5 years, and you're still not where you want to go, it would not hurt to try some sort of routine. And you can switch up the routine, you can have a variety to it. But as long as you are adding into your daily regimen something that you know is going to serve you on a physical level, emotional level, mental level, spiritual level, you're going to win. You will win. It's just a matter of time. But then remember that you can collapse that timeline because time really does not exist. So you can just shift. Okay. So taking it from the top here. Rewriting your life story. A practice that I typically go through with my clients to help them with their self-talk is rewriting their life story in the way that they are the hero of their life story. So, if we're looking at our own life as a movie or as a book, how would you write that as who you are right now? Just like, don't even think about anything else. How would you write that? Would you write it? Well, I had a really tough childhood, and my mom wasn't really there, my dad wasn't really supportive, and like I had these friends and they were good, but then they ditched me and then they abandoned me. And then, I was thinking I was gonna become, this kind of professional, and then I tried it and it wasn't really hitting, but I didn't have enough money for school, so I couldn't complete it. Like, excuse me. Like I could tell you right now exactly where your next 3 months to a year is gonna be if you have that kind of story about yourself in your life. It's gonna be the same. It's gonna be the same. So, for as much negativity as you're putting on your own past, that's as much negativity as you're putting into your present, and that's as much negativity that you're putting into your future, and you're projecting out through your third eye, and you're navigating towards that because that is your anchor and that is your vision of yourself. And that is exactly why when we went over the self-healing game plan part one, the number one step was what is your vision? Okay, what is your vision? And your vision is not having less anxiety, not having stress, not having, these doubts, these fears, these worries. Because to have a vision that is to not everything or have less something is not enough vision. That is you still living in lack. That is you still living in scarcity. That is you still not believing in yourself. That is you still not having a level of self-worth to even create a better vision for yourself that sounds a lot more positive and healthy and aspirational and inspirational and creative and juicy as you know it could be. When we're thinking of rewriting our life story, we want to make sure that we are doing so through the perspective and the lens that we are the hero, okay? Everything that you perceive as a challenge in your life is actually just one of those challenges that you would see in a movie or in a book. And so when you're thinking like, I am the hero of my life, I'm the hero of my life, I'm the hero of my life, I'm the hero of my journey, right? You will then start to see those challenges as obstacles that you eventually overcame. So stop trying to like nitpick yourself so hard. The thing is with the human brain is like it runs like a very old computer that is essentially created for survival mode. And so that survival mode, your brain is always analyzing things to troubleshoot, things that are keeping us, aware of the scary things that could eat us or chase us or kill us. And so when we're always in that survival mode, scanning all the aspects of our life for things that are scary, for the monsters under the bed, for the things that can kill us, for the things that can hurt us, for the things that can make us feel like we're struggling, for the things that can inspire so much pain within us, oftentimes that's all that we focus on, you know? But the problem with that is that that will always cloud your mentality. And I always say that having that kind of mentality all the time of this is what happened in my past, this was so bad, this is the trauma that I'm holding on to, this is the weight that I have to carry, I'm trying to move forward but I can't, I'm trying to do all these things but I can't, and you're still like going throughout life with that mentality. It's like you're driving in the car but you're always looking at the rear view mirror. You're bound to crash, you're bound to make those mistakes. You're bound to drive towards, you know, an unsure, unclear path where you're like, where the heck am I really going? Right? How am I actually really like driving? I'm so confused. Like the car is like burning and crashing down. I got to change the wheel. It popped off. Like it gets so confusing, but it doesn't have to stay that way. So let's not continue navigating life like we're driving a car only looking through the rear view mirror. Let's actually like take some awareness, take some time to recenter, take some time to focus and say, okay, I only need that rear view mirror when I'm reflecting back, when I really feel intuitively like I need to look back for whatever reason to help me move forward, to help me maybe even in the present moment, because it's not just all about what your future is or what it's going to be. It's also about who it is that you are right now, how it is that you're living right now. So when you are doing this rewrite of your life story, you can do it in many different ways. If you're trying to really go in and go in and go in hard, I would suggest that you would take it year by year, or you could just take it phase by phase. So year by year looks like literally birth to 1 year old. If you have no memories of that, that's totally fine, but you can still use your perception. Dream it up. This is your life story. You're rewriting it. So how are you going to write it? If this movie was made about you and you didn't want to skip the part of birth, how would you start it? You know what I'm saying? I love Wicked. Like I've been such in like this Wicked, like obsessive mode. Listen to it like every single day, soundtrack in my car, like going to work, going back home. And that origin story starts at her birth. You know? And so it's just like you want to think of that too. From your birth to 1 year old, from 1 year old to 2 year old, from 2 year old to 3 year old, what are the things that are happening in your external reality? What are the things that are happening in your life? What are the memories that you have? And you could say, okay, my name is Samantha. Or you can don't even have to say it in like that first person. You can say it in like a second person. You can say, Samantha was born, la la la, or third person. Samantha was born, la la la, 1988. And since birth, she has been a firecracker, like literally anything. And you don't have to lie. It's not here. We're not here to lie about who you have been. We are here to make you see a different version of yourself that you haven't been willing to touch on yet. Okay. And so you'll go through that year by year. If you want to do it phase by phase, you can say, okay, well, from birth to like my toddler years, and from like my toddler years to like my kid years, and from my kid years to like my preteen years, and my preteen years to like my teenage years to my early, you know, adulthood, and so on and so forth until where you are right now. And then I urge you, once you get to the point of where you're like writing for who you are today, I urge you to write out, you know, maybe another year or year or two. And have that vision that you created for yourself in the very first self-healing game plan be what you're putting into that life's story. But again, if you feel yourself getting tripped up and saying, okay, well, this really bad thing happened and I wasn't able to ever recover from it, and la, 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 like, I don't want you to start to get into that negative track. Did negative things happen in your life? Absolutely. They've happened to all of our lives. Did trauma happen in your life? Absolutely. They've happened in all of our lives. However, the way that you decide to look back on that negativity, the way that you decide to look back on that challenge, the way that you decide to look back on that trauma, that is keeping you who you are right now. And it's not to say that who you are right now is a bad person. I know you're amazing. I know everybody here who's listening to this and watching this is amazing. But if you don't feel that way, it's because you keep looking at your whole entire life as just a bag of challenges, a bag of negativity, a bag of trauma. And maybe, yeah, you have some happy days. You know, and you could really be killing it too. You could be killing it at work. You could be killing it with your friends. You could be killing it in your relationships, except for maybe how you see yourself, except for, you know, You can't sleep at night, except for you have this crippling anxiety that every single time someone invites you out to a vacation, you say, no, I still gotta work. Sorry. Even though you kind of wanted to go, but it's holding you back, right? We all have these things that we feel are setbacks in our life that all just stem from energy and how we are perceiving ourselves. So this is the energetic cleanup process that you're able to do for yourself that will help you navigate towards that clearer vision of yourself, where you're not in like this dusty, hazy, dirty like version and so, like skewed perspective of yourself, but you can actually have a clearer perspective of yourself that you are the hero. Okay. So I want you to do that for every single bit of your life, all the way until now, and then extend it maybe a year or two, maybe five if you want to. Get creative with it. And then when you're actually living your dream and you're living your life's purpose and you're living a life that feels very fulfilled because you know how, I want you to go back and read it and say, wow, I actually did everything here. Or, you know what? I had different visions. I had different visions. The vision that I created for myself was still in that victimhood mentality. But now that I've been out of it for about a year and a half, I have a completely different vision of my life, something else that I want now. I can dream bigger. I can dream for more. I can achieve more. I have achieved so much. Instead of, I haven't really been able to achieve what I wanted yet. I'm sure you've achieved a lot more than you're giving yourself credit for. So take that time when you're rewriting your life story to give yourself credit for it. Okay, give yourself the credit that you deserve. Next up is energy cleansing and energetic protection. If you do not know how to energy cleanse yourself, let this be the time that you are like, okay, I am making sure that I do this today, not tomorrow, not next week, not in a month, today. Okay, and you can do an energy cleansing practice for yourself for free. So it's nothing that you have to go and buy unless you absolutely want to. And there's plenty of things that you can buy to cleanse yourself and plenty of tools that I recommend that I've bought or made myself to energy cleanse. So you cannot say to me that you don't have some form of earth around you, some form of water around you, some form of fire around you, some form of air around you, or some form of spirit or ether around you. You cannot tell me that you don't have those tools. So, because you have those tools, and I know that you have those tools, please use them. Okay. Every single element has its own medicine. So, starting from earth, Earth's medicine will help magnetize and pull out and detox any of the toxins that we have in our body. All right. It helps to recalibrate our energy centers. When we say get grounded as spiritual practitioners, as manifestors, as energy healers, when we say get grounded, at least me, when I say get grounded, I don't mean close your eyes and envision, like your present moment self and then that's it, and just take a couple deep breaths and it's like, okay, that's it. No, that to me is like the start of it, but that's not how you fully do that. You cannot unblock your energy centers, especially your root, with just visualizing it. Why? Because that's still a very mental game and a mental process. But the root and the lower three energy centers are connected to the material plane, the physical plane. So they need that material and physical connection to earth, not just the thought form. Okay. So many of us in this kind of society get so caught up in our head with distractions, with books, which books are good, but still, it can be a overstimulating mental distraction, right? With books, with media, with movies, with TV, with songs, with daydreaming, with other people. We can get so overstimulated with everything and everyone begging for our attention. But you know who's also begging for your attention? You, your soul, your spirit, your energy centers, your being, your body. Okay, so if you are someone who has always been told you have an overactive crown, you have an overactive third eye, or you are finding yourself having a lot of migraines and headaches, or you find yourself having trouble focusing, you have mental fog, brain fog. If you're always confused, if you always have a lack of clarity, the first thing that I'm going to tell you is not to go and heal your third eye and your crown and bring more energy to those areas. The very first thing I'm going to tell you is to ground your energy and get into some dirt, get into some mud, hug a tree, go touch a plant, go gardening, commune with animals, commune with nature. And allow yourself to have that skin to earth contact. And that is going to help you more than you doing another meditation to try to clear out your mind, especially if you have an overstimulated crown or third eye. Okay, so allowing yourself to cleanse with the energy of earth is super important. You can do so in many different ways. Then you also have the element of water. Water is available to you to purify anything that you have emotionally that needs to be released, right? Emotions are energy in motion. And when you're able to allow that energy to move and have that motion throughout your being, that's when you feel your happiest. That's when you feel your healthiest. That's when you feel the most fulfilled. That's when you feel the most neutral. That's when you feel the most blissful. That's when you feel the most joyous. That's when creativity can start to flow. That's when you have all these downloads and codes that just come out of nowhere and you understand what they're saying because that flow is an integrated part of you. You're used to that kind of movement. But if you're someone who bottles in your emotions, if you're someone who doesn't speak on the emotions and the feelings that you have, if you don't know how to pinpoint these emotions, if you don't even understand how to have emotional intelligence because you don't even know the range of emotions that you're even feeling and how to call them out by name, if you don't know how to talk to your inner child and say, "Oh my gosh, this is an inner child wound that I need to heal right now. How do I support this inner child? How do I talk to them? How do I give them comfort? How do I give them peace? How do I give them ease? How can I sit there with them so that they can feel like they have a companion in this moment, in a moment when I didn't, right? In a moment where I was 8 years old and I was crying on my bed and I didn't have anyone and I was feeling isolated and I didn't know what to do with these big ass emotions. So I just cried and cried and cried and I fell asleep and I woke up and then, I just was living my life. But then that 8-year-old version of you is still suffering. And that's why when you're 28, when you're 35, when you're 55, when you're 60 plus, you could still have this 8-year-old crying within your own being the whole entire time because you did not revisit that version of you. And so, when you're having these emotions come up, it's so important that you identify them. It's so important that you process them. And then it's important that you filter them out of your being. Because if not, and you bottle them up and bottle them up and push them down and hide them and run away from them, and you are using substances to band-aid them or distracting yourself so that you don't feel them, or you're just completely closing off your heart space so you don't feel them and you're just numb and you haven't felt sadness, but you also have not felt happiness in years. When that happens, that is when you start to manifest disease and sickness and illness. And that's when you start to manifest more repeating cycles. And every single time that emotion comes back up, it like keeps bubbling up to the surface even more, even more, even more, even more. And your emotions are completely out of whack, completely unmanageable. You cannot even begin to balance them because you don't have those tools, right? And because the wave got so big. This is exactly why, with my students and my clients, I teach them the ride the wave technique, which is something that I've pioneered. Which is literally a fancy way of saying, feel your freaking emotions. But sometimes we just don't know how. We don't know how to do so in a way that actually feels good to the body. And sometimes, too, we can get into a healing trap where we're doing the shadow work, we're doing the root work, we're doing that inner healing work that needs to happen. And it's like we always feel like we have to do it over and over and over again. And oh, this other shadow came, and all this little demon I have to face, and all this other fear, and all this, and woe is me. And I've just been crying for like 3 months straight because I'm going through a dark night of the soul, and all these things. And it's like, okay, well, hello, wake up, hello, hello, hello. Like we are stuck in a healing trap. You are just releasing, 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 releasing. You're not infusing. Hello, you need the medicine. You need the medicine. Infuse the emotions that you prefer. Infuse yourself with the medicine that you need. And water can help you do that. The element of water can help you do that. So that could be creating some moon water. That could be having some sort of sound bath ritual or moon, excuse me. I said sound bath because I was thinking of the singing bowls. But a detox bath. You could have a detox bath ritual or regimen. You could pray upon your water every single time you take a shower. You can step out into the rain and allow that to cleanse you and purify you. Right? You can just meditate. By a body of water that is moving, not just like a pond or a lake. That can be calming for you if you need that time to just kind of calm down and settle down. But if you're looking to actively help those emotions move through you where you're no longer holding onto them and you can comfortably and gently and easily let go, then get yourself by some moving water. All right. Nothing that's stagnant, nothing that's still, something that has that activated quality of I'm flexible, I'm movable, I'm moldable. Anything that happens, I can just go in there with ease and I can come out when I need to, right? Like waves. So that is the element of water. Then you have the element of fire to turn to. And also, I actually want to go back to water for just 1 second, because what's so important about water is that you also have another planet to connect to there, right? or a moon, essentially. So you have that moon, and that will also help you with your emotional balance. That will also help you with movement. You can also pray upon or meditate with or talk to the moon and have the moon's energy influence you and impact you as well in a way that will better serve you. So I wanted to say that first before I move into fire, because the first thing I was going to say in fire was you could do some sort of sun gazing meditation. You can allow yourself to sit out in the sun and soak in those sun codes. You can allow yourself to see, like, wow, what a beautiful flame of ongoing energy. And that kind of energy, that fire, I literally have it in my own body as well. Every single element that we touch on when we talk about energy cleansing is an element that is found inside your own body. It's not just some woo-woo, okay, like you have electricity in your body. You have the earth in the bones in your body. You have the water and the blood in your body. Right? You have that fire, electricity, and the synapses that are firing off, and the electrical heartbeat that you have, the pump that you have in your heart. All of that is fire energy. You have the air in your body as well. Think of your lungs, right? Think of when you have gas, that's air in your body. And then you have ether, you have spirit, right? Which is all encompassing. It's in every single cell of your DNA, okay? And so I want you to think, okay, if I'm energy cleansing myself, what I'm really doing here is giving myself back the elements that were lacking, that were out of balance. When I'm energy cleansing myself, I'm giving myself, I'm refilling those resources. When you're driving and driving and driving on a road trip and you see yourself going on E, you just fill up the tank, right? What do? You fill up the tank. That's it. And you just can go again, and it's fine. And you're not puttering through. You're not having like a heart attack. Oh my God, like gas is running out. I can't get to where I'm going. Like, no, you just simply go and you get the gas. So you are filling up the resource that the car needs to function and navigate properly to keep the car as a whole healthy. That's the exact same thing that you're doing when you're energy healing yourself and energy cleansing yourself, especially when you're considering using the elements to do so. Okay. That's why I want you guys to tap out of healing as a cerebral game. I can listen to this podcast and I've healed. I can listen to one guided meditation and I've healed. And like, that's it. That's all I needed to do. I felt better in that moment. Okay, the emotion's gone. No, what you did, yes, could have been a form of healing in that moment, but you only did it for like maybe 10 minutes and it helped you feel a little bit better. But then what happens tomorrow when that same emotion comes up and you're like, oh my God, the meditation doesn't work. I shouldn't meditate anymore because I've tried and it doesn't work. No. No, there's just other ways that would have been better for you, that could have served you. And I want you to understand what those better ways could be. And so the elements and tapping into them is exactly what you may need, okay? Especially if you're lacking in a resource or another. So using fire, you can use a smoke cleanse, right? So there are many different options for you to do a smoke cleanse. There are some closed practices, there are some open practices. The spiritual community as a whole likes to say a whole bunch of different ways of if it's open, if it's closed, so on and so forth. I know I've been over this back and forth with my mentor a lot. So what it is that I share with you, I share knowing that I was receiving this from my mentor as well. So don't come for me. If you feel like something is a closed practice and you don't want to use it, that's totally fine. I'm not forcing you to do anything that you don't feel is ethically right or moral for you. I will say that if you are planning on purchasing any sort of smudging or smoke cleansing product, that you just please do so from some sort of native or local shop to you that is either family owned or they are harvesting their resources in an ethical way. Okay, so it's up to you to have your own discernment in this next suggestion that I have for you. But typically, you will see people smoke cleansing themselves with Palo Santo or sage or rosemary or cedar or sweetgrass or tobacco. So there are many different ways or options for you. If you just want to stick to incense, you can stick to incense. Camphor is a great one. There are other different incense that you can use as well. Whatever you feel connected to will help you a lot. Okay? But it is important to try out some different things and see what works best for you. All right. But doing that kind of process where you're smoke cleansing yourself, you're enveloping yourself in smoke, that will help to recenter and rebalance you. Smoke has an amazing quality to linger on the body and linger in areas. where you need it the most. And sometimes you'll notice when you are smoke cleansing yourself that, hey, I'm trying to smoke cleanse my left wrist, and it seems like the smoke just keeps going like away from it. Like it's actually not even touching my wrist, and I don't know why. There's no draft, there's no wind in here, but it just keeps like escaping my wrist. It keeps escaping my arm. That's when you know you need to do a little bit more healing there, or really actively try to get the smoke into that area as much as you can, or blow the smoke into that area too, because that is your body's reaction of, oh no, I don't want to. There's something blocked here. I don't want to connect with that. And it's not like I don't want to connect with that, I don't need it. It's like I don't want to connect with that because I'm so far off balance. Like I can't even connect. Okay. But you do have to use your own discernment and your own intuition when you're doing any smoke cleansing practice, because you can kind of read your energy at the same exact time that you're cleansing it too. And all these elements are going to help strengthen your energetic field. Using the element of air through sound, through singing bowls or sound bowls, through chimes, through bells, through chants, through mantras, through affirmations, through drumming, through music in general, different frequencies, binaural beats. When you're able to use that element of sound through singing, through humming, that will help to balance energy as well, whether it's you, the one who's creating that noise or that music or that sound, or something or someone else. You can also use the element of air just through the literal air that we have. Breath work is super important, right? Making sure that you are deepening and elongating the breaths that you're able to inhale and exhale. That way, your lungs have a greater capacity to receive that oxygen that it needs and a greater capacity to exhale the CO2 that can accumulate and make us feel super anxious. When we're anxious, chances are you're not taking deep enough breaths in that moment, right? You're like, it's getting like a shortness of breath, and your heart is palpitating, and you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm feeling like I'm breaking out in hives, and I'm getting so itchy, and I don't know what to do, and I'm so anxious, and nothing feels right, and this tag on my shirt is overstimulating, and I have to cut it off, but I don't even know where to start. Like, whoa, take a deep breath, right? Get into some breath work. Same thing can happen for you when you are outside and it's very, very windy. Allow the element of the air that's coming naturally through the wind to purify you, to cleanse you, to help clear out anything mentally that's going on with you, to help clear out the ways that you speak maybe too harshly to the people that you love or too harshly to yourself. So, using the elements that you have around you. And of course, ether or spirit is your own spiritual team. It's your higher self. It's your own spirit, right? It's also different healing modalities like Reiki. And so, Reiki is very connected to the electric energy of spirit and ether and the universal wisdom and universal consciousness, source, creator, God, very, very super connected. And so the reason why so many of you have even found me is through Reiki, and that's because that spiritual energy was flowing and you felt it. You resonated with it. You probably needed some more of it in that time, or maybe even still do. I love Reiki. I do it every single day for you and for me, for all of us. But even if you're not attuned to Reiki or a healing modality, you do still have your own spiritual team that you can talk to, that you can ask for protection from, that you can give permission for them to heal you. Okay? So it's very important that you're engaging with your spiritual community, asking them questions, right? It's very important that you allow them to come in, allow them to give you guidance. It's very important that you listen to the intuition that is coming to you. You hear that message because you can understand the language of your intuition, and then you take action from that intuition. That's called inspired action. So, doing those things more often as a whole and understanding in any moment, what do I need a little bit more of right now? What element is within me that is a little bit too much? If you find yourself getting super aggravated, if you find yourself getting super angry, irritable, you're just like flying off the handle, things that you're saying are not coming out correctly, you're a little bit too direct, you're a little bit too blunt, you're getting just super like annoyed with anything that's happening around you, you probably have too much fire energy in your being and in your body. And maybe it's time to energy cleanse with the element of earth. Right? And I want you to think of, how do I pair these guys up? Because the first idea that you could have, if I say, how much fire, you know, if you have so much fire in your body, what is the element that you would turn to? You'd be like, well, the opposite of fire is water. So I would use like water. And although that is true, I do want you to keep in mind what happens when there's a lot of fire and there's just like a little bit of water. The water evaporates. It wasn't enough, right? And then what happens if we overdo the water? Right? We create steam. And steam is also very uncomfortable. So I want you to kind of think of it in a way of like, what do I usually typically need? Earth is always going to be a solid baseline for you to connect to. And that's why I always say, at least ground your energy 20 minutes every single day, if not 40, every single day. It should just be an integrated part of your practice daily, no matter what, because that will always help keep you aligned in some way, shape, or form and help rebalance you every single day, no matter the external triggers that you're having or stressors in your daily life. But when you're having that time where you're like, I have an overabundance of this, right? How do I kind of balance it? Well, use a couple of the different elements and then bring that into your practice, bring that into your regimen. Ask yourself, energy, how are you feeling right now that we've done this? Chances are it's a lot better. If you're still feeling a little bit off, bring in another little element. See what you align to. Your intuition's going to let you know and tell you. And when you energy cleanse yourself and you are clearing out all of the energetic debris that is lingering in your energetic field, that's when you start to strengthen and fortify that field. And when you strengthen and fortify that field, like I said earlier, that's how you protect your energy. That is how you protect your energy. You don't need a whole bunch of crystals. I love crystals. I wear them all the time. I have a jewelry crystal business. I love them and they are super impactful and helpful, but you don't need 5 million chakra bracelets to protect your energy. You could just energy cleanse yourself, right? You don't need all these fancy things that you buy out unless you want them, and there's no judgment here, but you don't need them, especially if you're getting started and you're thinking like, well, I want to energy cleanse, but I don't have a Palo Santo stick. I want to energy cleanse, but I don't have moon water yet. It's not the full moon or the new moon. Like, it's fine. You have other options. Okay. But always make sure that you're protecting your energy no matter what, every single day. Every single day. Just like you wear clothes every single day to protect your skin from the weather, same thing. Okay. So changing your environment and trimming the fat is next. When you change the environment that you're in, like we said earlier, that helps your subconscious have more evidence and proof of you choosing different things and finding comfort in those things, right? So even if you change your environment and you're like, this is not the environment for me, at least you came out of it with more information of what you do prefer. Anytime you're experiencing a form of negativity or contrast in your life, when you are disliking something, the immediate benefit that you get from that is that you have a better preference. You have a more refined preference. Your desires can be more fine-tuned to what you truly, truly, truly wish to experience the next time, right? What you truly feel is in alignment for you. There could be some environments that you only want to be in a certain mood. When you're feeling really, really happy and feeling super outgoing, then you want to be in that kind of environment. When you want to get some work done, you want to be in that kind of environment. When you want to get, your groove on and dance and like chat it up, you can be in that environment. When you want to just do some healing and just connect to yourself and connect to spirit and energy cleanse yourself, you could be in that environment. But I beg of you, if you're doing every single thing in your life in the same or similar environments every single day, and you're one of your major complaints in life is how everything's the same in your life, if things are boring, you're feeling like, you can predict every single day, but you're like looking to expand yourself in all these different ways in your life, and you're not changing your environment, that's the best first step that you can take, or one of the best first steps that you can take is literally just changing your environment. I remember as someone personally who has an online business primarily, I do in person now, but still, like the foundations of my business are online only. And when I was starting, I did not have an office space. I like did not, I was just like in my room, doing my thing, like on camera, on my laptop, like doing what I gotta do. And that was the place that I worked, and that was the place that I slept. And sometimes that's the place that I ate. You know what I'm saying? Like I only had my one little room. I didn't have my whole entire house yet. And so I'm just like doing everything there. I do my little workout, I do my little yoga right in there. And it's just like, okay, do what you can with what you have. Always utilize your resources to the fullest potential. But could you lean in a little bit more to expand yourself outside of your comfort zone? Could you spend the $5 to go to a cafe and then just have a completely different scenery for the next like 6 hours of you working and then go home and you're like, okay, now I can do, whatever else I want to do at home? Can you try to expand the ways in which you are living your life? And can you choose to do so through the environments and the scenes that you want to be setting for yourself? If you're someone who is such a go-getter, you're ambitious, you have such big dreams, but they just have not been actualized yet. And you find yourself with the same people in the same settings, having the same conversation, choosing the same things off of the menu, choosing the same outfit to wear, not redecorating here and there when you can, even if you don't consider yourself to be the best decorator, like that's fine, but can you like maneuver things in your space a little bit different, get that fresh energy exchange? Like something, I don't know why this popped in my head, but something about cats, especially, I don't have a cat, I'm not a cat owner, I'm a dog girl, but something about cats is that they love to like mess stuff up and like knock things off the counter and like, bring a little bit of chaos into certain areas of the home. And typically, if you're paying attention, they are moving and creating chaos of the energies in the home that have stayed stagnant for a long time. So for instance, for me, like the ways that my dog will do that is I'll have a pile of clothes that I forgot to put into the hamper and they're on the floor. Maybe my hamper's downstairs and I have new clothes and they're dirty. And I'm like, okay, let me put them in the hamper space, but they're still kind of on the floor. My dog will go and make his little bed in there. And I'm like, ugh, like fine, I'll get the hamper. You know what I'm saying? Like any energy that is stagnant, a cat would be able to feel that. So can you act as your own cat in your life and like say, okay, this has been a very stagnant part of my environment and my physical reality. This has just been energy that is stuck. And I don't want energy that is stuck within my being, within my lifestyle. And everything that I see externally is just an extension of who I am and who I'm being. So if I want more movement and flow, if I want to create more space, if I want differences in my own being, then maybe I should change the differences, or make some differences in my external reality as much as I have control over and what I can do. Maybe I can just change the setting a little bit here. Maybe I can drink out of a different coffee mug. Maybe I can switch up the coffee that I get at the store. Maybe I can try a different creamer. Maybe I can try a different way of cooking this. Maybe I can watch a different television show for different programming to my subconscious mind. If I've been watching crime TV shows for the past 6 months, and I'm wondering why my mentality is so negative. Can I like shift that into doing something different? Should it be a different program on TV, or should it just not be TV in general? Should I just have a little bit of a detox from my technology? Am I constantly scrolling, constantly scrolling, constantly scrolling? And I'm wondering why I can't go to bed at night. So then I scroll to figure out the answer. Or like I scroll and find like ASMR and then I finally knock out. You know what I'm saying? Like, is there a way that you can bring more of that change and creativity into your life in an external way that you have control over now, especially in moments when you don't feel like you have too much control over anything, right? But if you're working on yourself internally, you can make these little tweaks and adjustments. Think about the people who like make the most money in this world. A lot of them don't really dress up in like dirty clothes with holes in them. Some do, and that's fine. But when you see someone who is up leveling themselves, you see that they start to dress better. They start to, read more books, and then they speak better, and then they have better vocabulary. You start to see them maybe do their makeup more if they choose to wear makeup. You see their clothes are a little bit different. They carry themselves different. Maybe they're choosing, different things at the store now, or maybe they just don't align with certain brands and they pick other brands now, or they shop completely at different grocery stores, not only because they're perhaps making more money, because they see themselves as a different person. They see themselves as the person who would dress up like this. They see themselves as the person who would have conversations like this. They see themselves as the person to be in those kinds of rooms. So they get in those kinds of rooms. So if you are experiencing a lot of stagnation in your life, or things are not moving and progressing the ways that you want to, how can you bring about that change and then trim out the fat? Trimming out the fat means that you're no longer having those distractions in your life that are creating these habits that you don't really want. You know that the next level version of yourself, or you who is living in that upgraded lifestyle, does not have. Right. So what is it? Is it a smoking habit? Is it a drinking habit? Is it a food related habit, a nutritional habit? Is it a lack of a workout habit? I promise you too, like the people who are extremely successful in this life, and if you see yourselves as someone who will be like extremely successful, and I know that you are, because you wouldn't be here if you weren't trying to be extremely successful, right? Like if you're trying to live like a little like below average life, and like you'd be fine with that, you're probably not here watching this, right? You wouldn't even be aligned to the frequency or agree with the conversation that we're having. So I know that you're a leader. I know that you're a healer. I know that you're a visionary. I know that you're someone who's ambitious. I know that you're a goal setter and then a go-getter. Once you have those goals that are set, I know that you are an action taker. I know that you create these plans. I know that you are determined. And if you don't feel determined, you're working on that, right? I know that you are looking for more in your life. And the people who have the majority of that kind of success in their life, this is the work that they do. They allow themselves to take out the distractions that would keep them in the same way that they've always been, that kept them unhappy, that kept them unfulfilled, that kept them confused, that kept them feeling like they didn't deserve peace or they didn't deserve love. They allow themselves to see that different version and associate new things in their reality with that. But they had to cut out the fat. They had to trim the fat. They had to be able to take out certain elements of their life to create space and then infuse it. That's what we do in everything. That's what we do with manifestation. That's what we do with energy healing. That's what we do when we're creating a different lifestyle for ourselves. I told you earlier, when we heal, we don't just release, we infuse. Same thing with your external reality. If you want to change your environment, release that, infuse this. Choose a different thing instead. But if you're releasing, 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 not infusing, you're always in that healing trap. If you're taking different distractions away in your life, but you're not adding in things that would add more value into your life, chances are you're going to feel a little bit vacant. You're going to feel a little bit empty. You're going to feel a little bit uncomfortable. And if you're not creative enough to fill in that with, fill in that space with something that will better serve you, chances are you're going to go right back into that same distraction, right into that same pattern, right into that same habit, right into that same autopilot. And that's not what we want. We're wanting something different. We've lived this life that we're in now. We have reaped the benefits of what it's able to create for us. We want something different. So let us get there. And these are the steps that will help you get there. So, where is the quote unquote fact of your life? Where can you trim it? How can you trim it? Is it people, places, things, experiences? Is it thoughts? Is it feelings? Is it habits? Is it something in your subconscious? These beliefs that you have? Is the way that you're showing up for yourself? Is the way that you're not showing up for yourself? Is it the relationships that you have? Is it something health related? Is it something wealth related? Where are the distractions? Where is the fat? Can you cut it out? How will you cut it out? How fast will you cut it out? And again, I want to really emphasize this because in the healing and spiritual community, there is a lot of just end it, just cut them off and leave them high and dry and like ghost them and they don't deserve you and all these things. And like, yes, that can be very empowering for some people who have never been able to like stand up for themselves or they've always had an issue cutting out extremely toxic or negative people in their life that would cause them harm or danger. So I understand that. But the way that you do anything is the way that you do everything. And I want you all to be very mindful of how you are deciding to trim that fat. Especially if it includes a different person. Okay. People have feelings. People have their own projections. People have their own perceptions of things. People have their own ways of processing things. So it's very important that if you are deciding to end a relationship with someone in your life, like allow yourself to do so in a way that, like, that highest level version of yourself would, not someone who's like, well, F off, everybody. I'm like taking the highway over to this beautiful ass life, and you can't come in the car with me. Like, it doesn't have to be that way because you never know how you coming across in that way could impact you later on in the future. Okay. And how it could impact that one person who may be having a good day or a bad day or whatever, or maybe they had a stronger connection to you than you did of them. And so for you, breaking off that connection means nothing, but for them, it meant so much more. So be very mindful if it has to include some other person in your life, okay? When you're trimming the fat and eliminating distractions, all right? You don't always have to cut people completely off. You can just alter or change how much time you give them or what it is that you decide to do. There have been some friends in my personal life where I was like, you know what? Every single time we're together, all we do is talk about drama. It's like all we do is talk about how bad our lives are. All we do is talk about how we've been wronged by other people. All we do is like talk about just the most negative, dark shit in the whole entire world. And then like we've created a bond because of that. And now it's the only thing that we ever do. And I was like, okay. We're no longer allowed to talk about these things. So what can we talk about instead? And if you find that you have no other things to talk about, or you're not getting yourselves into a different environment to try different things, to talk about different things, maybe you guys weren't really that good of friends anyway. Maybe it was just someone who was resonating with all of your darkness, all your fears, all your trauma, all your triggers, all your limiting beliefs and repeating patterns that are no longer serving you, and they were relatable. They validated that within you. But because they validated that within you and you were validating that within them, that was what was being activated. So for 3 hours that you're hanging out with that person, you're activating that energy instead of you getting into a different environment in a different room with different people that are maybe where you want to be in life that you can say, wow. You are like the living, walking, breathing embodiment of exactly what it is that I've been trying to get to. Like, I'm gonna kind of gel over by you. You are someone who it's not that I can walk step by step in the same path because everyone has a different path. So it's not like I can do every single thing that you've done and then like make that my life too. But there are certain things that are inspiring me. There are certain things that are activating these new feelings inside of me. There's this inspiration now. There's this different clarity of intuition that I have now that is able to help me ride that wave of my own success and create my path forward. And then there's going to be people in your life who kind of want what you have. You know, and they're in awe of you, and you're inspirational to them, and you can help pull them up, not by actively doing the work for them, but by just being that leader, being the visionary who goes for it, being a healer. Okay, so I want you to consider who in your life right now is that person who's activating those aspects of you that you no longer want to be activated anymore. Okay, it's okay to come to that truth and come to that reality. Sometimes, which is the next segment here, is boundary setting. So sometimes we may need to have more of those boundaries with other people in that way. So having that sit-down conversation with them. And it's not only important to like set that boundary, but it's to maintain it and uphold it. So you could easily say, if you do this, well, here we go. That's an old patterning by itself. We'll get into that example in a moment. You can easily say, hey, Samantha, this one thing that you said to me made me feel this way. And because I feel this way, I feel like I have to do this. I don't like to act in this way, being in that trigger. So I will do what I need to do in order to help myself out in those ways, because I know that I'm primarily responsible for processing my own emotions. However, it would really truly help me if we could discover a new pathway for us or new dynamic to navigate certain aspects that have been triggering to me, because I know that they've been triggering to me. I know that there's something also on your end that I'm probably doing at the same time when I'm reacting to what I was given. So let's have, you know, this end goal of where we want to be and make a plan to get there. That is how you would create that boundary. And then upholding it would be, oh, Samantha still overstepped. Samantha still did this. Samantha was not, you know, aligning to what we had seen for ourselves. That's when you can say, okay, now I have to distance myself a little bit, right? That's when I have to do something different or potentially cut that person off. What a boundary is not is an ultimatum. A boundary is a vision, a shared vision between two parties or more, with an agreed upon plan of how things can function or how the dynamic is agreed to be, right? It is a collaboration. It is not an ultimatum. But if you are creating boundaries that sound more like, if you do this again, I'm leaving. If you do this, la, la, la. If you do this, I'm going to take it out all on you. If you do this, I'm going to tell this person, that's an ultimatum. That's an ultimatum. And it can feel very empowering in that moment for people who don't know how to stand up for themselves. And maybe you're just practicing boundary setting for the first time, but that will always, pretty much always, rub people the wrong way once you have that kind of way of going about it. So I want you to consider how you have been setting boundaries. Have you been setting them from a neutral space? Have you been setting them from a very emotionally reactive space? How have you been communicating them? How comfortable are you with communicating that? Are you someone who's super non-confrontational? There are some friends that I have that throughout the years, we've really worked on maintaining a healthy dynamic as much as we possibly can. And when issues arise, there are some friends where we prefer to just text. There are some times where I have friends that we prefer to have a phone call. There are some times that we prefer a voice note back and forth. There are some times where it's got to be in person and in person only, and there's nothing else that we can do. No other form of communication works. Whenever we're having a disagreement or an argument, or we're not seeing eye to eye, or something needs to change, or we're setting a boundary, it has to be in person. Sometimes we have code words. Hey, this boundary needs to be set. And then the other person's like, hey, this is my code word. I'm not really ready to set a boundary right now, but I can give you another time and place when I am ready to. For now, if we can't talk like at all, or we just can't talk about this, like let me know. And then it's all communications, all communications, all communication. It also helps understanding the other person's attachment style, which I know the majority of my friends' attachment style. But if you don't really know the attachment style of the person that you're setting a boundary with, then you know, just kind of take it little by little. How do they typically receive information? If they're receiving information that they don't like to hear, how can we allow that process to be a little bit more gentler for them, but still getting across every single thing that we have to say? Still making it a point to vocalize everything that we need to vocalize and get everything on the table that we feel is important and relevant. Okay. Now, with boundary setting, if you're dealing with someone who is really confrontational, maybe they have a little bit more narcissistic tendencies, and so they like really don't hear you and they put the blame back on you and all those things. From there, more often than not, the kind of cutting off approach is a little bit better, or just not giving them the time and energy, because narcissists do feed off of the energy that you give them, whether it's good, bad, happy, sad, ugly, whatever. They don't thrive in neutrality. So if you can offer that neutrality, and if you can offer that kind of like distance, or just not like literally like not being able to hear them. And it's not to say like, well, let's treat narcissists bad or anything like that. It's just that more often than not, narcissists will take any opportunity to have the microphone in their hand and point all the fingers, or have the audience around them as more like energy against you. And that is just their natural defense mechanism. And so a lot of times having conversations with them where they have done wrong is like setting off a war like signal. And so if you're dealing with people like that, or that are super angry, confrontational, they don't know really how to take criticism or anything like that, even if it's for the betterment of the relationship as a whole, then you do really have to kind of and like back up a little bit and take it from a very, very neutral space. Don't give them, too much of your time, your energy, or your attention, because I promise you they will steal it. They love to do that. It's just something that has been activated within them and normalized by them. And oftentimes they will prioritize themselves and become very, very selfish in those moments. So different people take things in different ways. Understand who it is that you're talking to, and have a moment of you coming to a time where you've processed everything before you bring up that boundary, so that you don't have as much emotional backing to it that could potentially hurt the message being conveyed. Okay. With that, it's not, boundaries are not only to be used for other people. Boundaries are extremely important for yourself as well. So, what boundaries can you set for yourself today that will help you become the person that you want to become tomorrow? All right. So if you know that a boundary for you, if you know that a boundary for you is like, okay, I spend too much. Like, I want to be someone who is able to, provide for my family and my friends and go on vacation and do all these things, but I don't really have the means to do that. But whenever I get sad, I love to go to Macy's and I love to go to Nordstrom and I love to go to like all these places and eat out and, be very fancy. And then it's like, oh, I like racked up the credit card bill and like now I have to like pay off those payments and do all those things. Perhaps a boundary for you is like, all right, maybe we have to limit the retail therapy. Okay. And it's not to say don't treat yourself nice or treat yourself out to things if you're not having a very good day. If that's your love language and you want to do that, absolutely. But if you're being very real with yourself, do you think there's another way that you can satiate yourself or give yourself some TLC that does not include you ringing it up on that card? Especially if your vision for yourself is having enough disposable income to where you're feeling safe and secure always, or you're able to take yourself or your family out on vacation. So, in relation to that vision that you've created for yourself, what boundaries need to be put in place, and be so honest with yourself? And sometimes it can be challenging to come at this through the lens of like you talking to you. So what I often do is talk to my higher self, and I'll have my higher self tell me what the boundary should be. And because I'm going straight to the source, because I'm going straight to that intuition directly, I know it's divine truth, and I am able to hear myself out in a neutral way. And then I will go and take that action depending on what it is. And sometimes you'll find yourself navigating life. You're on your path, you're going towards your dreams, you're creating an even bigger vision, you're hitting your goals, you're hitting all these milestones, you're feeling very happy, you're feeling very activated. And then all of a sudden, oh, something just happened. I feel like I need to create a boundary for that. And you'll have that intuition. The more that you're creating those boundaries, the more that you're upholding them with yourself, maintaining them with yourself, and carrying them all the way through and taking radical responsibility, then the more it's just going to be easier for you. The more comfortable you're going to be when those moments of intuition come, and you're not going to get tripped up or feel like you cannot trust the intuition that came to you. You should always be trusting your intuition. What if your intuition was your future self telling you, hey, do it this way? Hey, talk to this person. Hey, make sure that you're working out. Hey, eat this, not that. Hey, you couldn't go out to this one thing that you really wanted to, and I know it sucks, and I know that you're crying in your bed because you really wanted to go, but it's actually better that you're here. Can't tell you why though. Love you. Peace out. Like sometimes it's like that, and that is fine. But what if your intuition was you, your future self, saying this is the way to get to where you want to go, and you're still here ignoring it? You're still here not trusting it. You're still here being afraid of it. You're still here ignoring it in general, not even taking, not even batting your eye at it. What if you are literally missing out on the cheat codes of life because you're too busy not creating a very great connection with your own intuition, right? Maybe that's your boundary. My boundary is every single time I have an intuitive thought and then I ignore it and then something bad happens, like I gotta do 10 push-ups, or like I gotta do, like this one thing. I gotta volunteer. I gotta treat, my spouse better. I gotta do la la la. Like give yourself something that you have to do as like a punishment, but not like a punishment, something that will still help you along the vision of your journey. So for instance, it was years ago when I was going through a breakup. You know how your mind just always goes to that one person and like, what are they thinking? What are they feeling? What's going on? I wish I could say this to them. Oh my God, I hate them. Like all those things where your mind is like constantly being triggered with aspects of them. I gave myself my own boundary and I said, I will not give this person like free rent in my mind for all of this time. That's absolutely ridiculous. Like I need to get a hold of myself. So my boundary is every single time I have a thought about this person, I go and I make a TikTok video, or I go and I, because at the time I think I was like building my TikTok repertoire, but I wasn't even like doing Mystique Awakening yet. I was like doing other things like for another business. So, and I wanted to be more consistent with that. So I was like, maybe I'll just go make a TikTok video. Or if I keep thinking about them, I have to do 10 push-ups because I want to get more fit. Or every time I do this, I have to put like money in a jar and like save it for like a sunny day, right? Because I don't do like a rainy day fund. I do like a sunny day fund. So if there's something fun I want to do, like I have the means to do that. But that's the boundary I created for myself. And because I was able to do that, any single time I had that thought, it would better me. So even if I was having a thought of like, oh my gosh, I hate this person, or oh my gosh, they're so bad, or oh my gosh, like I wish I could chew them out still, or I wish I would have said this, it like instantly turned into, oh, but I can better myself through this. And then the thoughts of that person would go away, and I would just have like the conditioning and the programming of bettering myself, bettering myself, bettering myself, right? And that was one way that I was able to rewire my subconscious mind. And I did that through boundary setting. And I listened to myself and I followed through. And something like of 2025, for me, I have been pretty good at this, but absolutely not the best that I could be, of being a woman of my own word. And so, are you being a person of your own word? And this wasn't even in here, but I'm going to put this into the whole boundary setting. And even like it could be a part of like creating that routine for yourself. A routine could be being a person of your own word. When you say something, do you do it? When you say you're going to do that thing, do you actually do it? And you do it in the time frame that you told yourself you would? Or are you just kidding yourself? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it later. I'll do it after this. I'll do it when I'm ready. I'll do it when I have more money. I'll do it when I'm in a relationship. I'll do it, right on the cusp of me getting this new job. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do this later, 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 later. How about you just do it? Like, how about like when you have that intuitive moment to do it, or you remember to do it, you just do it and you do it right there. Oh, I remembered this because I had to do it right now, right? If I remembered it in the moment and then I didn't do it, I'm gonna forget for who knows how long. Until I actually really needed that thing. I'm like, oh, damn, I forgot to do that thing. I should have just done it in the moment that I remembered, even if it was like tripping me up. There's been so many times where I'll like walk up and down the stairs of my house doing different things, cleaning. And then I remember, like, oh my gosh, I have to text my client back. Right. And then sometimes I'll be like, okay, well, I'll text them back like when I'm doing my daily like scan through my phone at the end of the day. But what happens? Then a friend asks me to the movies. I go to the movies. Ha ha. I'm laughing. I'm having such a good time. I'm eating. I'm having a little beverage. I go home. I'm tired. I go to sleep. Next morning, oh my gosh. Like then you have that in that intuitive moment again. And I was like, oh no, like, and those are just examples, right? But they happen and they're very natural. So if you're having that moment where you're like, I told myself I was gonna do this, and now I remember that I actually really have to do this, just do it right then and there, right? Be a woman of your word or a person of your word. Okay. Watch your life change when you're able to do that. That is another version of you taking radical responsibility and accountability over your life. And lastly, what we're gonna touch on here is changing your routine, okay? Creating that routine that works the best for you. So this can get very nuanced, but it's like reverse engineering. It's super easy. And the majority of things in life that if you want to get it, you can get it through reverse engineering. You want a certain amount of money, do that through reverse engineering. How much money do you want? How much are you selling your product or your time for or your service for? Okay, how many of that will you have to sell? Okay, can you break that down by month? Can you break it down by week? Can you break that down by day? Can you break it down by hour if you want to break it down by hour? Okay, that's how you can get to that plan, right? You start with the goal, you start with the vision, you start with the achievement or that reward, and you work your way all the way back down. So if you have a vision that you are your most fit self, that you've lost all this weight and that you're so strong and that you have so much nutrition and you have so much energy and you're so lively and you're doing all this not only to love yourself more, but then maybe potentially get into a new partnership and now you're in love with your body and now you feel so confident being in that relationship instead of being super anxious because you did not like your body image. Take that image, you know, that you're wanting and desiring, and then reverse engineer it and create a routine based off of that. It's super simple, it's super easy. But if your routine right now is waking up, feeling anxious, feeling depressed, feeling whatever, feeling not so happy for life, feeling not very motivated, not very activated, like you still want all these things, you still have all these desires, but still the mental and emotional problems are getting in your way because you're not energy cleansing. And you're not healing yourself, and you're not rewiring your subconscious mind, and you're not rewriting your life story. And you're not making boundaries and you're not doing all these things. And then you just watch TikTok and you scroll and scroll and scroll and you get ready for work. And you're like, oh God, I'm feeling miserable. I need a coffee. And you drink three coffees, you're still tired. And then you skip lunch. And then you're hungry, you're deprived, your nervous system has been telling you all these things. I need to go pee. I need to drink water. I need some food. And you've been ignoring all of them. So now like you've held all this pee in your bladder all day long. You're rushing home. There's traffic. Oh my gosh. And now you're having anxiety because you drink three coffees and you're already an anxious person. And you go home and you're taking it all out on your family members or your loved ones or your friends. Or now your friends want to hang out with you and you're not doing anything because you're feeling lazy and unmotivated because you didn't eat, right? And now you finally find something to eat, but it was just a bag of Doritos in your kitchen. And you're like, okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to binge watch TikTok again and fall asleep. What? Like, and I go with the most dramatic, crazy thing because honestly, all of us can relate to that. We've all had days or moments that were like that before, right? We can still be a very ambitious person, a goal setter and a go-getter, and want to upgrade to the next level of our lifestyle and all these beautiful things, and still have days that kind of feel a little bit like that, right? Old programming, old conditioning, but we wouldn't really have that as much anymore if we had a solid routine that we knew would activate us. So if there's anything in this self-healing game plan from week one or week two that I can help you infuse into your routine, because you're gonna have to make this yourself. I can't give you a routine. I don't know your lifestyle. I don't know your goals. You could share with me your goals if you need help creating that routine, or if you need help in any part of the self-healing game plan, part one or part two, you can always do a private mentorship with me for 30 minutes or an hour. You can always, 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 always do that with me. And then we can like nitpick every single aspect or just a couple points or two from the self-healing game plan to help you create that bigger picture for yourself and to help you create that game plan of action to take, right? Because we're not just having a self-healing game plan and then like writing it down in our journals, closing it, and then remembering, oh, I got to do this on our journals as the very first step to help us vision it, right? Envision it. We're taking it cerebrally, like I said in the very first self-healing game plan, we're taking it cerebrally first, and then we're plopping that down into our vision, our imagination. Then we're talking about it, right? Through writing it down and all these things, getting excited about it, asking me about it, talking to me about it, talking to other people in the free community about it, right? Sharing only with people who we think are going to benefit our vision as well about it. And then we bring it down to the heart space. We're feeling it. Oh, it feels so good. And then what comes after that? The embodiment, the action taking, the life force energy, the motivation, the consistency, the drive, the different determination, the confidence to actually go after it, the rising of our self-worth, the rising of our self-esteem. Right through the solar plexus, and then sinks further down to the sacral, sinks further down to the root, right? Being able to let go, being able to be sturdy, feeling protected, feeling safe, doing the practical, tangible things that we know that are going to get us there. That is the combination of work through the self-healing game plan. And right now, I want to ask you too. You can leave it in the chat, or you can let me know if you're hearing this on a replay, watching this on a replay. Leave it in the comments. Where do you think that you're at in your self-healing journey? If you've written every single thing down from self-healing game plan part one and part two, where are you actually? If we're breaking it down from the cerebral to the, or the spiritual to the cerebral to the emotional to the physical, where are you in the embodiment of it? I'm trying to help bring you down from just desiring and wanting and daydreaming and envisioning and bring it all the way down to an activated physical material manifestation. You are the manifestation embodied. So start embodying the manifestations that you want. Okay, and that comes through creating that routine. So, something to add into your routine every single day without a doubt, without missing a beat, is energy cleansing in one or more ways that you feel is best for you in that time and day. Should always typically include at least grounding. From there, any sort of meditative work that you feel like you need to do. Now you can ground and meditate at the same time. Two birds, one stone. Love it. That has helped my clients so much. If you heard the podcast episode with me and Courtney, this self-healing game plan and her being able to connect to earth energy and meditate while also calling in her higher self, and then also purging her energy centers and then cleansing her energy at the same time was so transformative for her. Okay. So if that could happen for her, and then she's reaped all the benefits from that and continues to do so, you can have your own transformation with this too. Okay. So having that combination between a meditation and some grounding and some earth medicine, plus any other type of energy cleansing that you want to do, plus maybe 5 minutes of rewriting your life story, right? 5, 10, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of rewriting your life story. That could be a part of your game plan, of your routine every single day. And then maybe you decide to get up, brush your teeth, do the things that you have to do for the day. And then maybe on your break, you decide to do another energy cleansing routine. Maybe you decide to sit and just vision that person, embody that person, call that person in or that lifestyle in, right? Maybe you take some time in your lunch break to clean up the office a little bit, create that space. Maybe you actually take some time during your lunch break and you're like, you know what? I kind of have to talk to so and so and create this boundary. Let me see in my own way how I can communicate this to them so that I'm not reactive, right? Throughout the process, I can be a little bit more neutral. Then you go home from work, maybe do a little energy cleansing after that because work is work, right? And we have to make sure that we're cleansing anything and not bringing that home so that we can show up presently and peacefully for not only ourselves, but all of our loved ones who are there with us. And then maybe we do a movement practice. Maybe we do something else that will help us from this self-healing game plan as a whole. Maybe we decide to actually have a Reiki session. Maybe we decide to purge the energy from our energy centers. Maybe we decide to, do something that is just fun and liberating and expressive and makes us feel like we're living, through our soul, like dance or art or creation of any kind. Can you substitute or replace some of the time that you've been spending on actions, right? Trimming the fat. Can you trim some fat? See where in your life you have some fat and then trim it and then add some things that you want to do in there instead and have that be a part of your routine. Just think like you got it, but don't overthink it. Think, but don't overthink. Okay? Please, please, because it's not just a cerebral thing, it's spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. Do not forget it. All right? So, for those of you who are listening to this on the podcast, if anything was of value to you here, I want you to share that with me. And also, I do have a podcast challenge happening every single month. So, if you would like to get a little special prize from me at the end of the month, make sure that you are taking this podcast and you are posting it on your Instagram story and you are tagging me as well so I can see you. I'll give you a little thumbs up or a little emoji or just like it and heart it to see that I got your submission. There are unlimited submissions. So, if you listen to this podcast or listen to any other podcast and you're like, wow, this is great, or you leave a review on Spotify or on YouTube, then you will have an entry for getting one of my little free special gifts for you. Okay. So make sure that you are promoting this if you feel like you've gained something from it and you feel like the world should know about this kind of work too. All right. For those of you in my free community or anyone else truly listening, but for those of you who are in my free community, you do have direct access to me through DMs and the Share Your Wins tab and the community tab. If there are any questions that you have, please submit them to me. I am more than happy to go over them with you. The people who ask me the most questions literally get the most transformative experiences in their life. I promise you that. But if you're here just listening to this and you're going through the motions and you're writing things down, you close your journal, you're not asking questions, you're not embodying, you're going to stay the same. And that's not why we're here. You did not get called here to work with me, to talk to me, to hear me out, and then not do the work, right? And then not have your life change. That is not why you're here. You're here for so much more. And I can see that for you. I'm just here looking at you, seeing if you can see it for you too. Okay. I love you guys so much. And I will see you in the next one. Bye.